Good morning. We're so glad that you're here today. My name is Eileen Wells, and I am a member of the Church Council. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a faith community that seeks to learn, serve, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome, and you belong here. Psalm chapter 139, verse 14 reminds us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. This means that you are not an accident. You are created intentionally, beautifully, and with deep purpose by God. We invite you to bring your whole authentic self to this place today. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionlesueur.com. If you're visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card found in front of you in the pews and put it in the offering plate so that our pastor can connect with you. Finally, please fill out prayer requests with your joys and concerns and turn it into the ushers during the passing of the peace. Sponsors for today's broadcast are Leroy Haas in memory of Carol, and Brian and Cindy Brown, who are sponsoring the radio broadcast and the bulletins in honor of their 45th wedding anniversary. Happy anniversary. Thank you to all who give to this ministry. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. There is still time to support the Zion Fellowship. If you haven't had a chance to check out the RADA Cutlery Fundraiser, you haven't missed out. There is time to grab premium, adult-made kitchen tools and supplies while supporting Zion Fellowship. But time is running out. The final deadline for all orders is this next Tuesday, June 30th. In conjunction with Zion Summerfest, taking place on Wednesday, July 29th, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., we are excited to host a home goods sale. The market will feature delicious foods, unique crafts, and beautiful homemade items such as custom soaps and candles. If you have a creation that fits the summer vibe, we want to showcase it. Just bring your items on the morning of July 29th, and our committee members will handle the pricing for you. Come help with Giant Day's parade food collection on Sunday, June 3rd. First Lutheran and Pastor Sam have invited Zion UCC to help collect food and monetary donations for the Le Sueur food shelf during the Giant Day's parade. Last year, we collected over 400 pounds of food and more than $300 just by marching in the parade. We're looking for volunteers willing to walk in the parade with a bucket or collect canned and shelf-stable food from the community as we march. If you're interested in joining Pastor Sana on the parade, please email, call, or sign up in the front office. We are pleased to announce and celebrate the baptism of Owen Glenn Brown, who was baptized yesterday at Zion. Owen is the son of Austin and Chelsea Brown. Grandparents are Monty and Amy Brown, and great-grandparents are Glenn and the late Lois Brown. His sponsors are Mark O'Connell and Whitney Huseman. Please welcome Owen and his family in your prayers as we have promised as a community to help raise him in the ways of Jesus. We are looking for volunteer drivers to drive members to church and or appointments. If you're interested and available, please contact the church office at 665-6441. Zion Church Council is also looking for a special person to join us as an elder. Elders are responsible for the spiritual needs of the congregation, church membership, and they also serve as nominating committee to find candidates for committees and council positions. If you're interested, please contact one of the elders, Loralee Axtell, Victoria Mansky, or Samantha Jones, or any other council member. We would love to have you on our team. A special thank you this morning to Harrison Hughes for sharing his musical gifts with us. To enhance our worship, Harrison will be playing Diamonds on the Water by Wynne Ann Rossi on the piano. The sermon this morning is entitled The Good News by Pastor Sana. We now prepare for worship.
The book of Psalms is full of songs and prayers written to God. Some are sung with joy, others were whispered in quiet moments. Each psalm helps us understand more about who God is and how much He cares for us. Today, I want to share with you a beautiful song that shows us something very special. God knows us, made us, and is always with us. A story from Psalm 139. God, you know everything about me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You even know what I'm thinking. You see me when I go places. And you know when I rest at home. You know everything I do. Before I say a word, Lord, you already know what I'm going to say. You're all around me, in front of me, and behind me. You place your hand on my shoulder to help me. Your knowledge is amazing, too big for me to understand. Where can I go to get away from your spirit? Where can I run and not find you?
Good morning. Good morning. I guess our video was done. Yes, it was. Great. May the peace of God be with you this morning. My name is Sana del Corazon, and I'm your interim pastor. I'm so grateful we can gather today to worship God. We believe that God values every single generation. We're so glad to have a pianist with us today, young pianist. And whether you're a child hearing the good news for the first time or a seasoned saint that has walked with God for many decades, you are cherished here. Let us prepare for worship by closing our eyes if you feel comfortable and taking three deep breaths. Bring our awareness to this space, to this sanctuary. God, fall afresh on us this morning. We are here to listen. Let us prepare for worship.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. God has shown us what is good, and what then is required of us?
To act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God.
Jesus says, "Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me."
The Spirit says, come. Let each one who hears the Spirit say, come, for all are welcome here.
Let us worship God. Please remain standing for the first hymn. This is the day number 84 in your hymn book.
Thank you. This is the day that it wants to rain, too. Please join me for the opening prayer. Gathered in this sacred space, O Creator, in the multicolor company of your church, on earth and in heaven, we celebrate your creation and invite your presence into our midst. God, we know that eternity cannot hold you, nor can our little words describe the breadth of your faithfulness to us. Yet in the space of our small hearts and in silence, we praise your holy name. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Please join me for All Things Bright and Beautiful, number 31. You may be seated. First time hearing that hymn. I like that one. Do you? Yeah, good, good. Please join me for the prayer of confession. Siblings, we can trust God at all times, for the Holy One is our refuge and our salvation. So with confidence, let us pour out a shared confession of our hearts. We confess to you, God, that we wander from the path of love upon which we are meant to walk. Fears divide us, prejudice hardens us, violence destroys us. But God eternally beckons us back. We turn our hearts again to you, God of grace and mercy. We confess that the new creation is not yet complete in us, and we see everywhere the barriers that separate humankind. Forgive us for the ways we do not show Christ's love, rush to judgment, and create division. Reveal to us those places that keep us separate from you and from our siblings. the one who breathed life into our lungs continues to be present in with us. God, who has made us reflective of God's own image, has forgiven us all and made us new creations. Therefore, since our sins are forgiven, let us go forth with love and peace, honoring and upholding the dignity and worth of all who we meet, knowing we see reflections of God's image all around us. God, who made us in your image, teach us to love ourselves as you love us. God, who made us in your image, allow us to show that image to the world. God, who made us in your image, help us to see your image in all those we meet. God, who made us in your image, teach us to conserve and protect all your creation. God, who made us in your image, bless, protect, and keep all your children from harm, safe from harm. Thanks be to God. Said to the disciples, "Peace I leave you, peace I give you. May the peace of the Lord always be with you."
And also with you.
Let us pass the peace with one another.
This morning's scripture reading comes from Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 35. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian cohort, as it was called. He was a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed constantly to God. One afternoon, at about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he clearly saw an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." He stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" He answered, "Your prayers and your alms have all ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa for a certain Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." When the angel who spoke to him had left, he called two of his slaves and a devout soldier from the ranks of those who served him. And after telling them everything, he sent them to Joppa. About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven open up and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven. Now, while Peter was greatly puzzled about what to make of the vision that he had seen, suddenly, the men sent by Cornelius appeared. They were asking for Simon's house and were standing by the gate. They called out to ask whether Simon, was called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Look, three men are searching for you. Now get up, go down, and go with them without hesitation, for I have sent them." So Peter went down to the man and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" They answered, "Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish community, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So Peter invited them in and gave them lodging. The next day, he got up and went with them, and some of the brothers and sisters from Joppa accompanied him. The following day, they came to Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. On Peter's arrival, Cornelius met him and, falling at his feet, worshipped him. But Peter made him get up, saying, "Stand up, I am only a mortal." And as he talked with them, he went in and found that many had assembled. And he said to them, "You yourselves know that it is improper for a Jew to associate with or to visit an outsider. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. Now may I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius replied, "Four days ago, at this very hour, at 3 o'clock, I was praying in my house when suddenly a man in dazzling clothes stood before me. He said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and asks Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying at the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. Therefore, I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. So now all of us are here in the presence of God to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every people, anyone who fears him and practices righteousness is acceptable to him. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word.
Before I read the second... Is it on now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The second scripture is 139, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make a bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the furthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and night wraps itself around me, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. I tried to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me. Those who speak of you maliciously and lift themselves up against you for evil. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. God, who has made us perfectly and beautifully, God of mercy and love and creation, speak to us this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Who do you consider unclean or untouchable? Or better, who do you avoid in public besides your nosy neighbors? Do you tend to avoid people who live in extreme poverty or who are homeless? Or is it the social outcasts that make you uncomfortable, like people with criminal records or people who struggle with addiction and mental illness? Or do you find it challenging to interact with people of different faiths, sexual orientations, gender, race, nationalities, or ethnic backgrounds? For some of us, we avoid people from opposing political views, or those people with deeply conflicting worldviews. We might believe that they are so wrong and they're so unredeemable that they're not worth our time. And if we're honest with ourselves, we humans have our own ideas of who we consider unclean or undesirable, though it's not necessarily polite to admit these things in church or in front of good company. But back in the Old Testament, the Israelites had rules and long lists of who they considered unclean and ritually impure, from women during their menstruation or who were giving birth, to people with skin conditions like leprosy, or anyone who touched a dead person or a dead animal was considered unclean. Being unclean did not mean that you were necessarily sinful. It just meant that you had to live away from everyone else, away from the sacred spaces of God and the community. As unclean people lived in the margins of society. A good example of this is, you remember when I talked about the hemorrhaging woman who a few weeks ago who spent 12 years bleeding and 12 years outside of her community because of this condition. She was considered unclean. Given our human tendencies for justifying ourselves and scapegoating others, the Jewish purity laws lent themselves to a moral hierarchy between the ritually clean, who consider themselves close to God, and the unclean, who were shunned as dirty sinners and considered far from God. Instead of expressing the holiness of God, ritual purity became a means for excluding people who were considered contaminated. Jesus rejected ritual purity as a measure of spiritual purity. From the beginning of his ministry, Jesus associated with people who many people thought were unclean and sinful. The gospel tells us how Jesus was walking along one day and came across a man named Matthew sitting at a tax booth. And Jesus said, "Follow me." And Matthew did. Everybody despised tax collectors. Not anymore, right? I'm just kidding. Okay. But not Jesus. Most tax collectors and other people who would have been considered unclean and sinners showed up for dinner that night with Jesus and disciples. The religious people were offended that Jesus was befriending these people by sharing a meal with them. But Jesus said that these are the people who need him. He came to heal and forgive the sick, not those who considered themselves spiritually perfect. John's disciples wanted to know why Jesus and his friends weren't fasting like they were, like other good religious people were. Jesus and his friends were criticized for not being strict enough about the Sabbath and even doing work healing on that day. They were criticized for not following the hand-washing rituals before meals. Jesus and his disciples broke religious rules all the time. Why? Because Jesus wasn't overly concerned with rules and with purity. He was concerned with bringing outsiders into the circle of love, of God's love and grace. He says, "No one puts new wine into old wineskin, otherwise the skins burst and the wine is spilled and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskin, and so both are preserved." New wine is active. It ferments. It expands. You can't put it in an old container. There isn't enough room for its activity. Jesus works like that. It's the new wine. The old ways didn't allow room for what he was doing. He was actively expanding the kingdom of God. In the book of Acts, we read about the first churches and how they were expanding the circle of love's of God's love and grace. Did you know that the first non-Jewish convert to Christianity was an Ethiopian eunuch, an African man who was perceived as someone who was between genders, neither male nor female? And then there's today's story about Peter and Cornelius. Cornelius is an outsider. He's not one of God's people, but a Gentile. Gentiles, by definition, don't know God's rules and are not following the purity laws. Gentiles did all kinds of things that were considered impure and unholy according to Leviticus. And Cornelius is not just a Gentile, but a Roman. And he's not just a Roman, but a centurion in the Roman army. That makes him an officer in the army who is occupying Jesus' people in their land. In so many ways, Cornelius ought to be outside the circle of God's grace, but he isn't. You see, Cornelius fears and respects God. He gives to the poor. He makes a habit of praying. He doesn't follow the rules that would make him pure and holy according to the Israelites, yet God still considers him a good man. God tells him that his prayers and gifts to the poor haven't gone unnoticed. He is to send a message to Joppa to a man named Simon, whom people know as Peter. He'll find him staying with another man named Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. Cornelius was a soldier, you remember, and he knew how to take orders. He also knew how to give them. So he sends his soldier and a man who respected God, and he summoned a few of his slaves, and he sends them to Joppa to find Simon Peter, the angel told him about. When Cornelius' messengers were on their way to Peter, Peter had a vision of his own. A voice says, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "No way, Lord," Peter replies. "I've never tasted anything unclean, anything that isn't kosher." But the voice replies, "If God says it's clean, it's clean." All this happened three times, and then the sheet was pulled back into the clouds. Peter is puzzled, and with good reason. The Jewish dietary laws aren't trivial. They're meant to show who was a faithful member of God's people and who is not. Blending in, acting like everyone else is tempting. But they knew that a little incense to the emperor here, a little pork there, a little intermarriage here, before you knew it, you wouldn't be Jewish anymore. So this wasn't an inconsequential thing. There's high stakes here. This is survival of his people to follow these laws. And as the story goes, Cornelius' contingent of men find Peter, and Peter makes the trek back to them to Caesarea. When Peter and some of his friends arrive, Cornelius is waiting with his relatives and friends. As soon as he sees Peter, he rushes and falls on his feet, as if Peter is some kind of saint, confirming all of Peter's suspicions about what strange and ignorant people Gentiles are. Once he's pulled Cornelius back to his feet and everyone has been introduced, Peter says to them, "You know, I'm sure this is very irregular. Jews aren't supposed to be in the homes of Gentiles. But God has shown me that I shouldn't be thinking of people as unclean or unholy. So when you sent for me, I came. Now I'd like to know what's going on." Cornelius explains about his vision and how he was told to send for Peter, and that now he is ready to hear whatever Peter has to say to him. And Peter tells him about Jesus. And through this experience, Peter begins to look at the world in a whole new way. See, Peter's vision was a game changer for us, for the early church. It revealed God's love and grace was not limited to a specific group of people, but available to everyone. This realization transformed Peter's perspective, reminding him and us that God's love transcends all boundaries. People like to tell this story like this is the conversion of Cornelius, but I think this is the conversion of Peter, since in the space of 4 days, Peter's entire worldview is transformed. Those who encountered the disciples described them as turning the world upside down, but in doing so, the disciples' own world gets upended by the Holy Spirit. For Peter, the transformation begins with the vision of the clean and unclean animals being lowered from heaven and hearing a voice telling him what God had made clean, he must not call profane. The gentle strangers appeared at his door, and he invited these messengers into his home. Already mingling of Jews and Gentiles is happening, people being brought together against the structures of their culture. Peter is starting to change. Already the vision is working in him. A next step towards his transformation happens when Peter enters Cornelius' house. Even as he declares this boundary crossing is unlawful, Peter quotes the voice from his vision telling him not to call anything unclean. This is another step in Peter's understanding. He discerns that God's message is connected to the otherwise baffling fact that he is standing in a home of a Gentile. Peter is starting to get it, but he still asks, "Why did you send for me?" Once Peter hears Cornelius' story, he arrives at a new insight. Best translated as, "I am beginning to grasp that God shows no partiality." It is finally dawning on Peter that these righteous Gentiles might deserve to know the good news of Christ. But it still doesn't occur to him that they could become a part of the church. Since we know how the story ends, we might think Peter ought to have understood from the beginning what God was up to. But that would underestimate the social norms that divided Jews and Gentiles back then. Rather, Peter allowed himself to be led by the Spirit into this transformed understanding of who the gospel was for. Although he does not understand what is happening, at every step, Peter follows the Spirit's guidance faithfully, even if it means transgressing his own religious norms. Peter allows God, through a Gentile, an outsider, to completely overturn his sense of who ought to be a part of the Jesus movement. The question for us is whether we are open to being so radically changed like Peter was. Can we pay attention to the voice of the Spirit, even when it's telling us something to do something unimaginable? To widen the boundaries of our communities beyond what we're comfortable with. To give and receive hospitality with those who we deem unclean or unredeemable. The story of Acts reminds us that God calls us to live and speak and act in radically different ways. Through Christ, God has broken down all barriers that separate human beings. God shows no partiality among any of the divisions we humans create. But we are called to reconcile to all, to God and to each other. And that is good news for everyone. Amen. I couldn't pick a shorter song. I'm just kidding. Now we will pray. Let us pray. Oh God, you have commanded us to reach deep divides and challenge us to love those who we might consider unclean, unredeemable, and even our enemies. You have also called us to pursue justice, stand with the marginalized, call out evil, especially when we have been complicit in it. You have called us not only to refrain from violence, but also to refrain from hurtful and unkind words. Indeed, you have called us to ponder deep flourishing for all your children and for the planet. Empower us to live by your way in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy One, help us embody the peace we pass to one another so that we may be your peace in the world. We know too well our divisions based on gender, race, sexuality, social class, but help us bear witness to a different reality. Help us begin the process of healing and deliverance. Help us form new ways of being in mutuality, in love, and in justice. Work through us. Empower us to live out your love in all that we do. Healing divisions, addressing inequity, reaching out to those who we perceive as outsiders. Lord, in your mercy. God of all nations, we pray for all countries all around the globe, for those entrusted with leadership on behalf of the common good. Help them discern how to use resources wisely, address the needs of citizens suffering from social, economic, and political oppression. Move us to attend to the cries of the marginalized in our community. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the travelers in our midst, the immigrants finding ways to new places far from home, refugees fleeing instability and war, for those forced to leave homes because of climate or violence. Journey with them, Lord. Lead your children to places of safety and welcome. Make us quick to offer hospitality, opening our hearts and homes to those in need until all live in safety and peace. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the hungry, for those who have no idea where their next meal will come from, for those struggling to scrape together a simple meal for their families, for those who go to bed with their stomachs grumbling. Bring an end to hunger, Lord. Lead your children to tables of plenty. Make us quick to share our abundance, setting tables and feeding each other until all are fed. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the lonely, for those whose relationships with family are frayed. We pray for those that have division. We pray for the ill. We pray for healing prayers for Bev Brandt, for all those who are needing of healing. We pray for their caregivers. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Holy God, birth a sense of joy within this world. Help us to trust that you can do and call us into the dance of reconciliation and healing. Strengthen our hands and our feet for service, and our hearts and our voices for proclamation. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who has taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God is still creating and still providing. Let us honor the continued and new gifts of God's generosity by bringing forth a portion of what you receive so that all needs will be met. Let us participate in the realization of the kingdom through offering material resources to the body of Christ. Thank you. giver of all gifts, we seek to share as you have shared with us. We want to serve in the Spirit of Christ. Therefore, we rededicate ourselves with this offering. We ask no more for this faith community than we would ask for all people everywhere. May we love you and one another. Amen. Thank you. Please join me for the closing hymn, Help Us Accept Each Other, number 388. Thank you. Friends, we cannot stay here even though it's raining. I'm kidding. There is work to be done out there. There is good news to be shared. Go be the church in the world. Love boldly, speak bravely, laugh joyfully, and trust in what the Lord can do in and through you. May the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, the communion of the Holy Spirit uplift and uphold you now and forever. Amen.